This month, we've been covering topics around teacher burnout and stress management, and I cannot think of a better way to wrap up this month's episodes than with this conversation I had with Jen Rafferty. Talking to Jen truly felt like talking with a friend who just gets it and who understands the importance of teachers taking care of themselves so they can show up as their best selves, not only in the classroom, but outside of the classroom too. There is so much to take away from this conversation, from how to aim for work-life blend, not balance, to what's keeping teachers from true work satisfaction, and so much more. I just know you're going to get so much out of this conversation, and I cannot wait for you to listen. Presenter and author Jen Rafferty started her teaching career as a middle school teacher in Central New York for 15 years. She founded Empowered Educator in 2020 as a response to teacher burnout during the pandemic. Jen is known for bringing her energy, humor, and expertise in her presentations while inspiring educators to stay connected to their why. Jen is a certified emotional intelligence practitioner and is currently pursuing her PhD in educational psychology. Since its inception, the Empowered Educator has reached teachers and school leaders all over the world. Jen has been featured in Authority Magazine, Medium, Thrive Global, and Voyage MIA. She is the author of the Amazon bestseller, A Place in the Staff, Finding Your Way as a Music Teacher. Jen's insatiable curiosity continues to make the Empowered Educator programs relevant and reflective of the most up-to-date research in mindset, leadership, and cognitive neuroscience. She is committed to inspiring teachers and school leaders to discover their voice and maintain a healthy longevity throughout their careers. Welcome to the Teacher Time Podcast, a space where teachers are empowered to take control of their prep time so they can enjoy their time off guilt-free. You know how teachers are always working long hours? Here, we're changing that norm together by tackling your biggest productivity questions and planning challenges. I'm your host, Stephanie Polovchik, kindergarten teacher, toddler mama, and your very own productivity mentor. I know what it takes to get your important tasks done so you can consistently work your scheduled hours as a teacher, and I'm sharing it all with you here. In this community, we believe that you can be an effective teacher without sacrificing your free time. So let's ditch that constant cycle of overwhelm for teacher time strategies that work. Why? Because your time matters. Hey, teacher friend, welcome back to the Teacher Time Podcast. Today, I am joined by a special guest that I am excited for us all to get to know and learn from, Jen Rafferty. Hey, Jen, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me today.
I'm so excited to chat more with you and to just learn about how you help teachers with their social emotional well-being and so that they can create thriving school communities. But before we dive into all that, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I was a music teacher in the classroom in public schools in Central New York for just about 15 years. And I truly thought that was what I was going to do for my entire career. I loved it. I was good at it at that point. It's like 2020, right, is kind of where I'm basing all of this from. That was a big pivot for many of us, right? Yes. So at that point, I was kind of like, you know, conducting all across New York State. I was presenting in conferences nationally. I had just published my book and I was just in it. I was ready to go. This was really how I was going to make impact and change the world. And of course, you know, 2020, everything changed. At that time, my husband and I decided we were going to get a divorce. And I ended up moving out of my house the weekend the world shut down with my two kids who were 5 and 7 at the time. Yeah, it was wild.
Wow.
So yeah, it was pretty wild. So in addition to like all of the other stuff that like we were all kind of going through, I was also now dealing with a new identity of being now a single mom, figuring out, you know, how does music now fit into our life? Remember, singing was very scary at that time too, right?
Yes.
So I didn't really understand how I was going to operate in this world now that everything I knew the day before all of a sudden was very different the next day. So I decided to stay home with my two kids that fall to homeschool, which I thought was just going to be for a semester. I started my PhD. Yeah, right. Little did I know. I started my PhD in educational psychology and really dove into the research of mindset, continued my work in cognitive neuroscience, which always was really interesting to me throughout my career. And when the time came for me to decide whether or not I wanted to go back, you know, my mind was like, yeah, of course you're going to go back, Jen. But my body was just screaming, there's something else, Jen. You need to do this other thing. And Empowered Educator was born. And what I realized was through my research, through my certification, I got a certification as an emotional intelligence practitioner. I realized that the missing piece for a lot of what's happening right now is focusing on the adults. We focus so much of our time and our energy, our money, our attention to the kids. And yes, of course, kids are important. But when we leapfrog over the needs of the adults, we're actually not giving the service. We're not able to provide and have the impact that we want to because we are ourselves are not embodying the work. So that's really where my focus and attention is. And I'm loving what I'm able to do right now.
That is amazing. I mean, such a pivotal moment probably in your life and how that change led to this calling. So that is just really cool. And I agree. I knew we were going to be completely aligned on like our viewpoints, but I completely agree that we need to be putting ourselves first as educators, and that has a direct correlation to our students and how we impact them. So I'm so excited to dive more into this. So can you talk to me about, like you said, the Empowered Educator was really born then. Like, how do you support educators?
Sure. Well, I my programming is professional development kind of in this 360 degree model, because if we just focus on teachers, mm-hmm. you know, that's fine. Okay. But then we're missing a huge part of the school ecosystem. Yeah. So I also spend time working with school leaders. Wow. And then I also spend time working with paraprofessionals and office staff and the bus drivers and the cafeteria staff and, I mean, and the nurses and the parents, because we all need to have this shared language of empowerment, of understanding really what the root causes of behavior is, which of course is our emotional well-being, which means we can't just talk about emotions. We actually have to process them in ways that are safe and healthy and productive. And in order to teach our kids how to do that successfully, we actually need to embody those practices ourselves.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And I love that you really focus on like the whole community.
It has to be that way.
Yeah, I agree. Oh my gosh. Okay. So let's kind of talk about burnout, because burnout is a hot topic, especially amongst teachers. Can you talk about what really causes burnout and what a solution could be to help begin to recover from that?
Sure. Well, you know, burnout happens for a lot of reasons, but I think overall, so like the micro reasons can be slightly different for everybody. But yeah. In general, what happens is we consistently put other people's comfort before our own. We consistently wear this badge of honor that is full of like martyrdom out mm-hmm. of this, you know, it's well-intentioned. It's out of selflessness, but sure, the message about selflessness is that we lose our sense of self mm-hmm. and we completely become consumed by our role as teacher, or if you're a parent, as a parent or a caretaker. Mm-hmm. And what that does is that we give and give and give and give and give. And anytime we think that we want or need anything, we write it off as being selfish. So we never actually fill our needs. It's not even like an indulgence. I'm not talking about like going to get your nails done and having a massage. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about having a full night's sleep. Yeah. I'm talking about eating nutritious food, moving mm-hmm. your body, taking 5 minutes to take a break because you need to just regulate your nervous system because you're so jacked up. So what happens? Our bodies are talking to us all of the time. We know what the signs are, where, you know, our heart rate increases, we're sweaty, we have headaches, we have chronic pain when it becomes really chronic like that. Our stomach is tense, right? And so we ignore it and we just push it down and push it down, and our body's trying to talk to us louder and louder, mm-hmm. but we push it down and we do it for the kids.
Yeah.
But when we're showing up, when we're feeling all these physical symptoms, we're actually not able to do our work, to do our job in the full capacity, to take care of the kids, especially when they need us most. And so mm-hmm. what happens is your body shuts it down for you. you have a migraine, you have brain fog, you have chronic fatigue, or your back goes out and you're sick and you literally cannot do anything because your nervous system is now overloaded. And then we just keep doing it. So, you know, like that's what's causing burnout. And the part of this is getting to understand your agency in every moment, so you can take back some of those moments that you have in which you can choose to give, or you can choose to take something for yourself without it being selfish. And really ultimately listening to your body. Your body is talking to you and you need to listen. So that's, I think, the first piece of really unraveling how you can get out of burnout.
Starting to like pay attention to, are my basic needs being met, you know, and what is my body trying to tell me?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when I talk to people about this, like, we know, it's not a secret.
Sure.
Like, you know, when you're feeling stressed, people, you know, they're like, oh yeah, of course, this happens all the time.
Yeah.
So we know, but we don't know what to do about it, because in our society, we think of, well, we need to give our bodies to the cause. We need to give our mental and social and emotional well-being to the cause. Mm-hmm. But it's just simply not true.
Yeah.
It's just not true.
Do you think we almost like accept it as like, oh, this is just normal. Like, this is just what teachers, what people, you know, this is what you feel like as a working adult. Like, I almost feel like there's like this, yeah, like this, I don't want to say unspoken, because I think it's spoken. It's just, it's almost accepted.
Oh, it is. And it's normal, right? And it doesn't, just because it's common doesn't mean that it's normal, and doesn't mean that it's okay. And where I really get my tail wagging here is because, you know, our kids are watching. Mm-hmm. Our kids are watching us. And so they are watching all of the adults in their lives just existing in depletion and burnout. And it's like, well, this is just what it means to be an adult, guys. So, you know, buckle up. And that's just completely unacceptable to me. And so, you know, I think that, you know, there's a huge disconnect when we're in these schools that do these social emotional learning programs for kids, right? And here you have this strung out burnout teacher who hasn't had a full night's sleep in who knows how long, who's on blood pressure medicine because they're so anxious in school. And now you're talking to your class and giving a lesson on cooperation and community and empathy. Like, are you kidding me right now? It doesn't make any sense, because the messages that the kids are actually receiving are what they're seeing in the behaviors of the adults in their lives.
Yeah, that's so powerful. You said something before, you said for the kids, and it made me immediately think of like toxic positivity and how like that's another big term, right? That's being used and called out a lot more often now. But I also feel that positivity is important. So can you talk about how we can have some positivity in our lives without entering into that toxic positivity zone?
Yeah. So this is, I love talking about this because because positivity, it's all over. It's just like, just change your thoughts and like your life is going to be great. Right. Or like, you know, you are in charge of your own sunshine is something that somebody said to me, that their principal came in a faculty room and said to them one time, and they're like, are you kidding me right now? But what I really like to think about instead of positivity,
okay,
is actually alignment.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, because when we talk about alignment, you really get an opportunity to get in touch with who you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when you access that part of your future, or you start to visualize, okay, well, what could my life look like? What do I want? What do I desire? Mm-hmm. What are things that are going on that don't feel good? How do I want to feel? When you start making your decisions about the things that you say, the activities that you decide to engage in, the decisions you make, you know, when you align all of those things with who you want to be, they are naturally going to shift into a higher frequency that potentially could be more positive. But we're not striving for positivity.
Right.
We're striving for alignment. Yeah. And that is actually more genuine. And that comes from a place of recognizing your emotions, because honestly, sometimes you feel like crap. And so, you know, sprinkling some rainbows and sunshine on it isn't going to make it go away. In fact, it's going to make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this positivity message mm-hmm. gets a really bad rap, because what happens is we then experience what I like to call emotional bypass. Mm-hmm. So we bypass the emotions that don't feel good in an effort to be positive. But what happens is when you're feeling angry, when you're feeling resentful, mm-hmm. when you're feeling frustrated, the emotion has to go somewhere. Thoughts happen in your mind. Feelings happen in your body. Mm-hmm. And so when, you know, you're thinking the thoughts that are turning on the neurocircuitry in your brain to release all the neurochemicals to make you feel a certain feeling, mm-hmm. you can't just talk your way out of it.
Right.
You actually have to do something physical. So that means acknowledging your beautiful emotions that don't always feel good, because that's kind of part of your humanity. And that's mm-hmm. that's an amazing thing. And it is completely undernourished. So honoring, I'm profoundly sad right now. Mm-hmm. So what does my body need to process this? Well, sometimes it means you need to cry. And sometimes it means you need to create safety in your system to know that it's okay to cry. Mm-hmm. You know, if we were brought up in a household where it's like, suck it up, buttercup, or, you know, what are you crying about? I'm going to give you something to cry about. Our system might not feel safe yeah. to actually express these emotions. And the thing is, it doesn't have to mean anything. Mm-hmm. It's just a release, right? I am a huge fan of just getting in your car, rolling up your windows and just screaming. Just let it out, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love going to a rage room. I bring my kids to the rage room too. I don't know if you have those by you, but there's, do you have those?
No. I don't know, but I've heard of them. And I think it would be a great release if you're feeling big feelings.
Yeah. Go check them out. The rage room is amazing. I do often like teacher workshops there because we talk about stress and then we just like break things.
Great.
Oh, it's amazing. But you know, we get to a certain age, like my daughter right now, she's 8. I would say until the time she was probably like 7, you know, the whole neighborhood knew when she was pissed off. Right.
Yeah.
Then you get to a certain age, it's like, that's just not acceptable behavior anymore. But right. we don't know what to do with the emotion. Nobody ever teaches us. So we just don't. And we just shut it down. And we found saying, look at how resilient I am. But it's not resilience. It's emotional bypass. And in order for you to move to alignment, you have to feel your feelings physically in your body, because that's where they live.
I have so many thoughts right now. Because I'm kind of thinking back to when we were just talking about how like our kids are seeing us, right? And what they see makes a difference. And as teachers, we are in the classroom teaching them how to regulate their feelings. But are we doing that ourselves? You know, I think that takes some big reflection. And so then you talked about alignment and you kind of mentioned like, yeah, how we might begin to do that. And I think I would kind of sum it up by saying like starting to become aware of those feelings and accepting them and then finding an outlet for them. Is that kind of how you would say that we can start to live with better alignment?
Yes, I do think that that's a great synthesis of that. And I would like to add that acceptance doesn't mean that you have to like it.
Right.
Right. And that's something that I also had to learn myself through this work. Because by the way, everything that I speak about, everything I teach, I practice myself. Mm-hmm. And so acceptance, that's a really big piece of this. And it's not like, you know, I'm accepting it and it's like, great, I'm angry right now, I'm feeling resentful. It's like, you know, this is a pen. And I fully accept that, you know, I'm talking to you through my computer. I accept that this is a computer, right? Like I'm feeling a feeling and I accept this feeling.
Right.
And in that acceptance is where the honoring of yourself comes in. Mm-hmm. Then you can make decisions about it.
Right. Because as what you said, we don't want that emotional bypass. We don't want to be pushing these feelings down.
Right. And I think a lot of that comes too with, like I said earlier, our upbringing of how we thought about expressing emotions, mm-hmm. because judgment is a huge player in all of this. Because if you mm-hmm. are feeling like your body needs to release and cry, but then you're judging yourself for doing it, mm-hmm. you're actually adding to the problem. So as soon as you start to feel or hear that inner voice of judgment, it's a beautiful opportunity to replace it with curiosity, because curiosity and judgment cannot exist in the same space in your brain.
Yeah.
So when you start asking questions like, why am I not feeling safe to cry right now?
Yeah.
What am I making this mean? What do I think this is going to do for me? And so asking these questions releases judgment, and then you can start to get to know yourself a little bit more. And the truth is, a lot of this judgment comes in words like, well, I shouldn't be sad about this right now, and I'm supposed to love my job. Why am I so happy, right? And when you say those words like shouldn'ts or supposed to's or shoulds, that's the judgment word. And in my world, we don't should on ourselves and we don't should on other people either. That's judgment. And you have a beautiful opportunity to replace it with some curiosity.
I love that. I love that quote.
Yep.
That's perfect. Yeah. So you're like really just seeking to understand your feelings. Yeah. And where you're coming from. Okay. Can we talk about work-life balance? Because I feel like, and I know the listeners can't see me right now, but I'm saying that with air quotes because I don't believe work-life balance is a thing. And I think that we're going to be pretty aligned on our viewpoint about this as well, because when we were talking about what we're going to talk about today, you used a term, work-life blend. And I also am 100% on board with that. Can you talk more about that?
Sure. Yeah. You know, balance to me is exhausting. You know, I have this image of just like all of the plates spinning, right? Mm-hmm. We're balancing all of the things. So if one thing goes out of place a little bit, the whole show falls to the ground, right? Mm-hmm. And so even just that phrase, work-life balance, to me, if I really sat with it in my body, like brings tension to my stomach. Like that's just what it is, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's really important we pay attention to those things. So if it doesn't feel good, we can't continue to move into that direction and then expect to feel good on the other side all the time. It doesn't always work that way. Mm-hmm. What I like to think about is work-life blend, mm-hmm. because in work-life blend, sometimes things are going to require more of our time, energy, and attention, and that's perfectly okay. Yeah. And then sometimes other things are going to require our time, energy, attention, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And so what that also alleviates is sometimes these feelings of guilt that especially moms feel, mm-hmm. when they are giving their time to their career and they're feeling as if they're not paying attention enough to their children and enjoying every single moment and being present with them and all. I mean, give me a break, right? Like, yeah. You know, give yourself a break, yeah. and realize that in this work-life blend, you get to decide. You are, you know, driving the bus here. And sometimes there are going to be reasons for you to devote more of your resources to one thing and more of your resources mm-hmm. to another. And that also allows you the opportunity to say, hey, it's 3:00. I'm going home.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Because I can. And
because
I want to.
Yeah. And because I can to. And because I want to. And more importantly, because that's what's aligned.
Yeah.
That's what's aligned with me right now. Mm-hmm. That's what feels good to me in my body.
Doesn't it? Like, it just, as we talk about this, like you talked about how, like, when you say work-life balance, it makes you feel tension. But like, as we're having this conversation and you're saying all this, I like feel a sense of relief. I'm like, oh, yes, yes, exactly.
Yes, yes. And that beautiful awareness of that relief is really important because some of us, and listen, before I even came to this work, me included, I did not even know what that felt like.
Yeah.
I didn't know. You know, I remember at the beginning when, you know, meditation became like the new thing. And I was like, mm-hmm. yeah, right. Are you kidding me? I'm like a girl from Long Island. You're going to tell me I'm going to be sitting down. How long? 60 seconds? What?
Wait. I'm going to say it on the podcast. So I grew up on Long Island.
Stop it. Really?
Yes.
How funny.
I don't live there now. We currently live in Maryland. We have to talk about this.
Yes, we do. We do. Can we talk about it now or should we wait?
Yeah. No, we can talk about it.
Yeah. No. So I grew up in Hewlett. I went to Hewlett High School.
Okay. So I grew up in Mount Sinai.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's so funny. Yeah. Long Island girl.
Love it. Okay. Anyway, we can talk more about that after we're done recording. Sorry.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. But I forget where we even were.
Oh, we were at meditation. And I was just like, there's no way I'm going to sit for any amount of time and just sit with my thoughts. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I have things to do. I'm busy. Who has time for this? I'm a mom. I'm, you know, and so coming into this work for me mm-hmm. was also a journey in and of itself. Because the thing is, like you said so beautifully at the beginning, just because it is the way it is right now doesn't mean that it's normal or doesn't mean mm-hmm. that it's okay. Yeah. And because we've normalized the hustle, the busy, the push, the go, success being this external game, we're constantly moving towards something and chasing. And so when we let all of that go and realize that we actually can stand in our power, we get to drive the bus, we get to have agency in every moment. And here are some beautiful tools to connect you with your humanity, mm-hmm. you know, especially as educators. If we are not connecting to humanity, ourselves and our own humanness, like, what are we doing? What are we actually teaching our kids? Because, you know, math, science, ELA, social studies doesn't matter if you don't know how to human.
I agree. And so, you know, I'm a kindergarten teacher and we, our schedule is jam-packed with all of the academic content, but my teammates and I are always saying that really the most important thing, and we talk about this too, like when parents ask us, like, how can I help my kid be ready for kindergarten? We're like, we just, like, can they be kind? Like, can we focus on, like, the social emotional, you know, learning, like the self-regulation, the self-management, the sharing, the, you know, taking turns, like all skills that we'll continue to work on in kindergarten. But like, this is the most important thing as they're coming into school, and it shouldn't just stop in kindergarten, you know?
Yeah. It's the most important thing at any age.
For me now.
Yeah. Like for me right now too. You know, yeah. This is how the world elevates its consciousness, mm-hmm. right? We are just all asleep. We're asleep and we are, you know, on autopilot and we're just like, well, it is what it is. And then, you know, we're counting down years to retirement. Mm-hmm. And I want so much more for you. I want you to want much more for you. And in order to make it, well, I'll actually start by saying this, like, my business is about generational change. Mm-hmm. If you're an educator, that is also your business. Mm-hmm. And in order to make transformational generational change, you need to embody your humanity. This is the way through. This is the way forward. And I will tell you, I work with educators of all levels of all, you know, but the one of the most powerful tools that you have is recognizing your own ability to regulate. That is a huge message. Kindergarten teachers come to me and they're like, Jen, my kids were crazy. And I could have really easily done a consequence, mm-hmm. could have sent someone to the office. I could have gotten activated myself. But instead, because I felt myself feeling mm-hmm. activated and triggered, I took a moment and asked myself, what do I need right now? And that is the most important question that you could possibly ask yourself throughout the day. So what did that person need right now? And I've heard the story many times. This is kind of like an amalgamation of all these stories. Mm-hmm. You know, that person needed to regulate her nervous system and take a breath. And she recognized, so did her kids. So mm-hmm. instead of escalating the whole situation, lights went out and they all did some breathing together. And then guess what happened? The rest of the day was fine. Right?
I believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then not only did she, you know, mitigate that moment, but their whole experience of school that day was transformed. Mm-hmm. That teacher's day was transformed. They go home to their families transformed. They now have tools that they can use. And that, like, that's empowerment.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to release our power to all of these external circumstances to decide how we get to feel every day. Mm-hmm. You know, the story doesn't have to go that way anymore.
So powerful. And just, yes, like everything you said, yes, I agree. And thank you. And I want teachers and educators and everyone in our school community to continue, you know, school communities rather, to continue learning from you. So we're going to link to your resources page. Can you tell us about, like, what kinds of things we'll find there?
Yeah, sure. So on there's a couple free resources. One is 10 Ways to Beat the Burnout, which is a really great, just like, kind of put it on your wall right by your desk. Yes. And if you're feeling the things, just kind of go through, right? Because sometimes we forget when we're in the moment, we actually are not able to use our brains the way that we normally can, because mm-hmm. we're in fight, flight, or freeze. And so this is a really great reminder to stick it on your wall by your desk of how you can kind of regulate yourself. And then there's 24 ways to find calm in your busy world. My ebook, that's mm-hmm. also free right there. Access to my podcast, which is Take Notes with Jen Rafferty, and a whole bunch of other goodies over there. So that's a really awesome. Good page to get to know.
Yeah, so many great resources. We're going to link to that. And where can our listeners just connect with you further?
So the easiest way is Jen at empowerededucator.com. But I also have a really great Facebook group, which is Empowered Educator Faculty Room, full of like-minded educators who are doing the work. And it's just a really wonderful community where we all support each other in our wins and our support each other in our struggles and our challenges, and help us collectively ascend to just greater well-being.
Awesome. We're going to link to that Facebook group and, you know, your website and all that good stuff too, so that you guys can continue learning from Jen, because I mean, such an inspiration. Thank you so much for being here. I've loved getting to know you, and I'm so excited for our listeners to get to know you more.
Thank you so much. And thank you for all the work that you do in this world. Appreciate it.
You too. All right. Talk soon.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you loved what we talked about here and want to connect further, you can find everything you need on my website, www.teachinglittleleaders.com. And if you loved this episode in particular, share it with your teacher friends by taking a screenshot and posting to Instagram stories. Make sure to tag me at Teaching Little Leaders so I can see it and reshare. I'll see you next Tuesday. Have a fabulous week.